listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Thanks for listening in to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. I'm Amanda Harrison here with Ron Kitchens to get his insights into a really fun and lighthearted leadership topic. So we all tend to roll our eyes at axioms, or you might know them as cliches, idioms. But when it comes to leadership, there may be some axioms that are worth noting and worth living by. So again, just for fun, we're going to break down some of the ones that you've probably heard before and that maybe leaders should find noteworthy. We'll also tell you a little bit of their etymology or the origin of their meanings when we can. So Ron, if you're ready, let's get started with the early bird gets the worm. This is a proverbial phrase that was first recorded in English in 1605 and later written in John Ray's A Collection of English Proverbs in the 1670s. So it's often shortened to just the term early bird, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. And you'll hear things like early bird specials for dinner prices or ticket purchases. But Ron, what do you think leaders can learn from this phrase, the early bird gets the worm?
You know, it's interesting. Bill Hybels wrote a great book called Axioms about things that we know, cliches, those kind of things, but they really are true. And we have to look at what the truth is in them and learn from that. And so early bird getting the worm is one of those axioms, one of those things that reminds us, do the hard thing first. I am a great list taker. And so to get things done, I have to-do lists. And I use digital to-do lists, but I'm over 50, so I print my digital to-do list, and I've got to have it there because I love the feeling of checking that stuff off. It gives me energy to do that. But what I've learned about myself is my whole day feels haunted if I've got something that's hard to do and uncomfortable for me at the end of the list. And so I feel like a sense of dread as I'm moving towards that hard thing. But if I change the order and I do that hard thing first, then the rest of the day has this incredible energy to it and it feels successful. So for me, the early bird gets the worm says, you know, do the hard things first. You'll have great mental energy and capacity around it. And it also says that, you know, while everybody else is in that afternoon doldrum, and we all hit it as leaders, you know, I think science tells us for most people it's about 3 o'clock in the day that they start looking for the candy jar in the office. They start ordering the double espresso to get them through that day. You then have already done all the hard part of your day, and you can do those things that are slower, that take less energy, but have just as much importance on your day. So just get the hard stuff out of the way first.
So the next one is absolute power corrupts absolutely. So this statement was first made by Lord Acton, a British historian and moralist of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. And he expressed this opinion in a letter to Bishop Mandell Creighton in 1887, which is where we found the phrase today. So what does absolute power corrupts absolutely mean for leaders?
There really comes the idea of a lot of leaders begin to think of themselves as untouchable and become blind to that. You know, I've shared before on a podcast about a friend I have who works for a large company, and I had an appointment to go see the CEO of the company, and my friend, who has a very big title and a large corner office, he couldn't take me to the building and get me in where the CEO's office was. The CEO had so isolated himself that somebody who was to the world very important in their company didn't have enough authority to get on an elevator into that CEO's private floor of his office. And as a visitor to that company, I never felt the same way about it again. I never felt that that was anybody I wanted to do business with. And I think as leaders, we have to remember that we can't create such isolation and such authority in a world that we operate in that we forget that the only reason to be a leader is to serve followers. Let me repeat that. The only reason to be a leader, the world only needs leaders who serve followers. So if you're creating your leadership around any other reason, then what you're going to find is your leadership's been corrupted. And you need to either adjust what you're doing or find a different capacity to serve in.
Okay, cool. Let's go on to the next one. So this one everyone's heard, I'm sure. Many hands make light work. So this is attributed to John Heywood, an English writer that lived between 1497 and 1580. He was known for his plays, poems, and collection of proverbs. And interestingly, he fled to England to avoid persecution as a Catholic for his faith. So, Ron, in terms of many hands make light work, what can leaders learn from that?
Well, I think first thing is leaders can learn if you're going to do a podcast on axioms and cliches, you should have Amanda come help you because she's got this great research capacity of where all these things came from. But, you know, it's a great example of the power of teams. If you divide the work amongst lots of people, then you're going to find not only do you get that work done, but you're going to get far more done. And assuming you have the right people around you, you're going to get it done at a level of expertise and capacity that you've never seen before and doesn't exist in other places. So collaboration, internal and external, is critical to success. And it's okay to ask for help. Guess what? Everybody around you knows you're not good at everything, and there's no place that anybody is. So ask for the help.
Yeah, and that's a good reminder back to the podcast we just did on delegation, too. So many hands make light work. You can delegate and get the help you need to get maximum capacity done. All right, our next one is you can't learn to swim without getting in the water. So I am going to let you down on the research on this one. I couldn't find a lot of background on it other than it may have originated from Sweden. So Ron, we'll jump right into it and see what leaders can learn from. You can't learn to swim without getting in the water.
Well, I like that axiom. I usually use a variation of that. I think the origin of it is the poet, writer, author, commentator of our times, Jimmy Buffett, who wrote in a song that you can't describe the ocean unless you've seen it. And that really is the same thing, that as leaders, you can't read in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Do they still have Encyclopedia Britannica?
I don't know.
I'm showing
Wikipedia.
Have you ever seen an Encyclopedia Britannica?
Oh, yeah, like way back in elementary school, probably.
Yeah, all right. Well, you can't just go to Google and read about oceans and know what salt water tastes like. You can't put salt in water and know what ocean salt water tastes like. You can't explain the pounding of a wave on a beach unless you've stood with your feet in the sand and felt what that feels like. So for this axiom, you've got to have the experiences, the real experiences, not theoretical experiences, the real experiences to then convey to your team what that feels like. But you've also, as a good leader, have to know that for them to then lead against that, you've got to put them in a place they can have real experiences. And too many leaders want to be modern-day versions of the Encyclopedia Britannica or, you know, YouTube, and they just want to tell people, or they want to show them their videos from their time at the beach. But the reality is, if you want great leaders, you got to send them to the beach. You've got to let them feel what those things are and put them in a position and then bring them back and ask them to teach what they now know that's real to them, not theoretical.
Cool. So I love this one that's up next. Chief cook and bottle washer. And I've heard you say that before, jokingly describing yourself, Ron. Again, not a ton of information on the origin of it, but it's believed to potentially be an old military phrase that dates back to the American Civil War, so the 1860s. is where we think it came from, but Chief Cook and Bottle Washer, tell us about it.
You know, if you couldn't find this on research, you should have just made up great things. People would have emailed you and said, oh, no, that's not where it's from. But if you didn't find it, maybe they wouldn't have either. Yeah. But, you know, what this says is leaders have to be prepared to do all jobs. Within our organization, I believe that I've done every job in the organization. Does that mean I am the best at it? No, I'm not even the best in our organization at the things that I was the best at. We have hired people on our team or invested in people on our team with skill levels and knowledge that I never had. So they're now better at doing those things, but I still have to be prepared to do that. So, you know, it is true that if the toilet stopped up, if I can't get a hold of a plumber to come fix that or something needs to be done, I as the leader have to be prepared to do that. I have to be prepared to clean the kitchen if it's dirty. Just as I know that if I'm in a meeting and my clients need something at the meeting I'm in or we need things prepared, that every other member on our team will stop what they're doing to make sure that I have the resources needed to be successful because they understand what that success means to all of us. As the point leader, I had better live that out as well, because if I don't live that out, great people won't stay with our organization. So we'll end up with all the people that nobody else will hire. And guess what? We will cease to be a great organization, and I will quickly cease to be the leader, because our board of directors would not tolerate an organization that operated at that level.
Yeah, that's a good one. I love that phrase too. No one's too good to unclog the toilet, like you said. We totally use that around our office. And likewise, you'll see everyone on our office jump to give somebody a cup of coffee if they walk in the door, no matter who they are. So you're definitely right on that one.
Now, let's be clear. We're in an old building. We're in a 150-year-old building or something. It's the building's fault. The toilet's always clogged.
We'll transition from that. So this is going to be the last one for today. This is one of the phrases, Ron, that you have been known to say around the office, and that's when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah, so that's one of those phrases that every time I think I know where it came from, I find an older version of it. Our previous board chair, Bill Johnston, who's an incredible leader, a great mentor to me, shared that with me one day when I was speaking about how disappointed I was in someone's performance. And he shared with me, you know, when someone tells you who they are, believe them. And you've got to believe that's who they are, good or bad, and move forward. And so I quoted Bill saying that for a while. And then his wife said, oh, he didn't make that up. He got that from Oprah. So then I look, and sure enough, Oprah did say that. So then I was quoting Oprah saying it. Well, then I heard Oprah say it, and then she got it from Maya Angelou. So now I quote Maya Angelou saying that. And so until somebody tells me that Maya Angelou got it from somebody else, I'm claiming it's a Maya Angelou quote. But the fact of the matter is, it's the truth. When somebody tells you who they are, believe them. I, and a lot of point leaders I know, want more for people in a lot of cases than they know to want for themselves. And so you're pouring into them, you're helping them lift it up, but at some point you're going to find you may want more for them than they have capacity to give, and you've got to be okay with that. But on the other side of it too, when you see a moral failure, when you see behaviors that are unacceptable, you know, a good leader will address that once, but you're going to believe that person when they tell you who they are, and you're going to address your expectations for them. And in some cases, you're going to address their ability to stay on your team based on that. But we can't allow the rest of our organization to be placed at jeopardy, whether it's our church or our business or not-for-profit or governmental unit, based on a belief that, oh, you know, that's not really what they meant, or that's not really who they are. No, they told you who they were. Just believe them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. All right, so that's the last one for today. Ron, I know this was just kind of fun and lighthearted and a little something different than we typically do on the podcast, but do you have any final thoughts for us before we close out?
Don't be afraid to learn in small bites. So we tend to see quotes and we like them. And I remember the first quote, and I now have tens of thousands of quotes collected in a Word document. I remember the very first quote I collected was, "The quality of a man's life is in direct proportion to his quest for excellence." And it struck me, and I don't even remember where I got it from, but I remember typing it up and taping it to the wall in my bedroom and looking at that every day. Well, that was mentoring. That statement, and I think it's a Tom Landry statement, but I think it may have come from somebody previous to that. But that statement became a mentor for me, which is why we do every day our quotes, and you subscribe to them at southwestmichiganfirst.com. So for us, I'm selecting those based on what mentoring would I love to have in my own life or a reminder in my own life, or that I want to cast for our team members every day. So it's a lesson learned. Don't be afraid to learn in small bites. You don't have to read War and Peace to gain knowledge. So don't assume just because it's become a cliche or it's an axiom or it's a quote by somebody you don't know that it's not something that could change your life. Just like that quote on my wall now, what, 35 probably years ago, changed my life and my direction and led me to be a learner from great thought leaders. You know, I hope it does the same for you. Life's too tough to do it alone. Find other people you can share it with. Some of those people are going to be shoulder to shoulder with you. And some of those people you may never meet, and in some cases may have passed 500 years ago. But you can learn from them, and you can serve the people you love better today by being a smarter, more knowledgeable leader.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.